How are we all doing this morning? Good to see you all. In my final prep at home this morning, I was praying and I was just thinking, I'm so excited to come here today. So excited to spend time with you all. So excited to be here with my family. What a privilege. What a privilege that we can come and join together and be physically distanced and do everything we're supposed to do. And for me, it's even greater to see all your faces. And so welcome those online at home as well. Today, we're looking again at our position in Christ. And I trust that as we've been going through this series and painting, as each preacher's come up and painted this beautiful landscape for us, that this array of color of this landscape is taking shape and taking form for you. And understanding deeper our position in Christ. And Pastor Dom last week preached an amazing word that would help us to move us forward. And I just want to say, if any of you missed anything, please go online and go to the YouTube account and listen to them. They are helpful. And so today I want to speak on roots determine fruits. Our roots determine fruits. And again, I gave Jessica the theme idea and she came up with this. I mean, I love the picture. It doesn't need much explanation. If you have a bad root system, there's no fruit on your life. If you have a good root system, you can have a look and see. And just, I must ask you before we even get started, which of these two root systems is representative of your life? And I love the way things have gone this morning. I could not have planned it this way. But thank you, Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody says this, "I never saw a fruit-bearing Christian who wasn't a student of the Bible." I never saw a fruit-bearing Christian who wasn't a student of the Bible. And at the Bridge, we connect everybody to be Word and Spirit people oriented. And so we want to make sure that we understand that. Isaiah 37:31 says, "And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." Pastor Carmichael brought the analogy for us of the remnant people last year and this year, that remnant people reconciled, reconciled, get together, be pulled together again. And we have to understand this prophetic word of the remnant people is meant for that people, and I see us as that, to flourish and to grow and to go and to be part of strength to strength. And we have to understand that similar to the sheep and the shepherd analogy, metaphor, the theme of roots and fruits is a very biblical, great biblical metaphor. And they just go together, like love and marriage, and a horse and carriage, or pizza and pineapple, or not, depending where you stand. The Italians all said not. And so, whatever it works for you. So, first thing, I just want to look at some roots and fruits of life. And as I've said, this is a biblical theme of scripture, metaphors of good trees and bad trees, of good roots and bad roots, producing good fruit or bad fruit. And here's some verses to challenge us with this so that you know I'm not making this stuff up as I go along. Colossians 1:10, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord," meaning having a good root system, "fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work." Not in every work, in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." And you know, people think, well, I'll take one or two of these. No, no, they come as a group. They are packaged together. You either have the fruit of the Spirit or you don't display the fruit of the Spirit. You can't display some and not the rest because they're all there. Ephesians 3:17, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts in faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." And that was the whole point of the song. He's running after, he's chasing after us, he's following us down. And if I know I have it somewhere, the tap root, if you understand gardening, if you don't understand gardening, see Janine afterwards, she'll explain it to you. She'll do a connect group on gardening for you. Spring is coming, you might want to do that. No pressure, Janine. But you have to understand what the tap root is. The tap root is the main root that goes down and holds everything together. And that's where the goodness comes. And our tap root has to be a tap root of love. And that is the thing that feeds the anyway, where was I? Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. So when we are rooted in him, rooted in love, built up in him, and we can take it and understand that our faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And that's as Dom said this morning, if an immediate prayer doesn't come to your brain, just be thankful, just thanksgiving, Lord. I could actually do a diagram and draw this tree, and I could fit all these verses into that tree of everlasting life. Here's another quote by some smart guy. The fruit you see is always determined by the root you cannot see. Because we can't always see the roots underneath. We can only see the tree and the fruit and what it's producing, and it will tell us whether we have a good root system or not. So to try and help us, I did a little bit of a diagram here, and I hope you can see that. Those less on the left side is Mark 4:17. It's talking about the parable of the sower, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulations or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Those are not positioned in Christ, or not well positioned in Christ. The minute problems come, oh no, this Christian thing is just too hard for me. I'm going to run and do my own thing. On the converse side of it, John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him. That is not just connecting, that's abiding, that connected, grafted in, part and parcel of. He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. That is a strong imperative to help us to understand that apart from Christ Jesus, we cannot do anything. But by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. A lot of scripture today. It's good. Jeremiah, well, I think it is anyway. Jeremiah 17:7. It's very similar to Psalm 1. We'll get there. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. I want to be that kind of tree. I want to see my roots go deep, my root system in the Lord. I have a good root system in the God. The tree, if you could do the analogy, the man sends out his roots into good soil and water. And when trials and tribulations and times of testing and times of stresses and times of nonsense and difficulties, the scripture says when the heat comes, because of our good root system, we remain evergreen and our leaves are still green and we keep producing fruit and we continue through all circumstances. We want to be evergreen trees for Jesus Christ. We want to be producing. Another clever guy said this word, if you are rooted, you cannot be moved. If you have a good root system, you cannot be moved. Man, the winds can come and the winds can blow and the situations can come, but if you are rooted in Christ Jesus, then you cannot be moved. Anyway, I've got a lot to get on today, so I want to talk about digging into our root system a little bit. And what does that mean? You know, some gardening be done today. Number one, we have to understand our root system. So here's quite a lot of scripture. Colossians chapter 3, and I know Miss Janine went over this. I think Dom even mentioned some of this, but this is for us all to get it again. If then, now that if then in some translations says since then. So this is not maybe, this is since you have been, if you look at the Greek. Raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And the point I want to make for this, make sure your root system has been changed. Make sure you are functioning by the right root system. That we want to look above, not below. We want to, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, well, it's all about me and my life. No, no. When Christ, who Christ is your life, he is my life. I'm bought by a price. I don't have my own. Then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Simply said, kill the old root system. Get rid of the old root system. Let's have a new root system. And then it goes on and explains some of that terrible root system. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Passion. Now you go, well, now passion's an interesting word in the Greek. Pathos. You get negative pathos and you get positive pathos. This is a negative one. And this time, in this context, it means depraved passion. Evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. We all lived there sometime or other. And maybe some still do. But now you must put them all away. And then he goes on and explains some more about what to put away. Anger, wrath, malice or jealousy, if you don't know what that means. Slander, meaning talking bad about other people, gossiping about your bosses and your pastor and the congregation and your friend next door. And obscene talk from your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another. I'm amazed, I've said it before, I'm again, how glibly Christians lie. How are you doing? Well, yeah, this thing happened, and then you find out afterwards it didn't happen and they were doing something else. I don't know why they didn't just say, we were doing something else. It baffles me. But anyway, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, should take that one and highlight that in your Bible, God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. That's all understanding our root system. Secondly, we have to understand what is just said, we are God's chosen people. We are God's chosen ones. Verses 5 and 8 say, put to death what is in you that is deemed earthly and worldly. Now, I don't have to explain that all to you. You know in your hearts what's earthly and worldly. And then verse 12 says, put on as God's chosen ones. Clothe yourself. It's again, it's that picture of take off that old dirty shirt and put the new clean shirt on. And this clean shirt is one that says you are holy and beloved, your compassionate hearts, your kindness, your humility, your meekness and patience. Who wants to be like that? Okay, it's two of us, three of us, four of us, five of us. The rest of you, I'll see you, six of us, seven of us. I'll pray for you afterwards. Don't be afraid to come and be prayed for. Paul is assisting us to help to see our position in Christ, who we are, what we have been called to, having a good root system that will carry us. His emphasis, I said it once and my wife thought I really meant to say it that way. I don't. I'm just emphasizing the emphasis of it. We are safe and secure in Jesus. In other words, Jesus has hit a home run on our behalf. And all we have to do is revel in that and live in that and walk in that. We are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Let that roll around. Say, come on, say, I am God's chosen one. Let that roll around in your mouth and in your heart, in your mind for a while. Enjoy the savor or the flavor of that for a while. Meditate on it. Let it become your life. I don't care what the world says about me. I'm God's chosen one. He chose me before creation in time. Psalm 139. How's this? I know, don't put your hands up. When you were all at school, because we all did go to school, some of us still at school. You know when, I don't know if they still do this here, but they used to say, okay, let's pick teams. And then they'll have two team captains. They'd come out and they'd stand there. And then you stand there like a bunch of pawns in a chess game. And then they select. You know where I'm going. And then there were two people left. You were one of them, and there was another person. And then they chose the other guy. And then by default, you got to go join the other team. Did you feel like you really wanted to be on that team? Or you were like, goody, I'm the last one. I can't wait to get on the team. Well, let me tell you this. Jesus always wants you on his team. Jesus will always invite you to the party. You know, you've heard your whole class just got invited to the party and you were, not me. We will always be invited to the party. We are not only chosen, but holy. Our position in Christ is holy. We are loved by Christ. Number three, we need to have a revelation of a new root system. Again, some more scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm adding some scriptures in this morning just so we get context of the word, because sometimes we can just proofread a piece of scripture and make it sound good. But I want us to look at it in context of what is being said. Ephesians 2, 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. No one ever really wants to admit that. That I was dead in my sins, dead in my trespasses. I followed the prince of the air and the power of the spirit that was working me. But we were called sons, meaning also sons and daughters of disobedience. Wow. In verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh. Again, those are the depraved passions of the flesh. Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Thank God for the cross. Thank Jesus for coming and dying on the cross. And then just very quickly, I'm not going to go through the whole book of Ephesians. We see a little table in chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in Christ. Verse 5, we were made alive in Christ. Verse 6, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Then chapter 3, verse 14, I'm changing my root system. I kneel before the Father. Ephesians 4, I walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Ephesians 6, we stand and fight the good fight. And the whole point is that when we wage war, we defeat the enemy, as we said this morning. The enemy's already been defeated, but it's in our heads that stuff comes against us and says, you know, verse 11, it tries to dislodge me from my position in Christ. That's what the enemy's trying to do. Knock you off the pedestal, take you off, give you another root system. And it says, stand against the schemes of the devil, because he has schemes and plans for your lives. You know, you've heard me say it before, man is sinning, the devil is raging and God is shaking. And God is shaking the foundations of what we believe, of why we come to church, why we are here. And some say this is persecution against the church. Let me say very clearly, this is not persecution against the church. This is a global pandemic. Someone said once before to me, I wonder how people would respond when real persecution comes. Anyway, number four. Waging war destroys the old roots. My mother, when she gave me my first Bible as a young boy, actually, she wrote in this in my Bible, sin will keep you from this Bible, but this Bible will keep you from sin. She was a good Sunday school teacher. We have to understand if the root is bad, the fruit is bad. You don't get good fruit from bad roots. We wage war because being at war with sin makes you allied with Jesus? No. But But because being allied with Jesus, we wage war against sin. Because he is the captain. It's not us wagging the tail. We're not the tail wagging the dog. We need to be allow the dog to wag the tail and to understand that. Number five, doing some gardening on our roots. Now we have to, as we started, roots determine fruits. So I'm going to give us some practicalities on how to uproot the old roots and how to dig in some good roots so that we can be established to grow in knowledge of our position in Christ. We have to learn to uproot the bad stuff because we can have a look. Have a look and see, well, where is there good fruit? Where is there no good fruit, or there's no fruit at all in my life? We want to put down some good roots and establish a good root system in order that we will walk according to God's word and produce fruit. So the whole context, and we're not going to read it because it's just too much, is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to chapter 5, verses 1 to 18. So I suggest you write that down and go home and re-look at it again. But I want to read from 17 through to 24 so we get a little bit of a context. Verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. So now the Gentiles at the time, this is how Paul describes the Gentiles. Their thinking was futile in their minds. Them thinking, they are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned it in Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. And here we go again. Here's this put off, put on. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. It's not God put it off for me. No, we need to make a choice and put it off ourselves. And is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And then verse 25 starts off with this, and it says, therefore, having. And the therefore is therefore because of everything that went ahead. And now we're going to look at, and I've done a bit of a diagram. A table, that's the word I was looking for. And so you need to go and do some homework. But it says, starts off in verse 25, says, therefore, and you can have a look, we want to, on the left-hand side, middle column, the left-hand side says Ephesians in the chapter and the verse. And then the middle, it says, uproot the old roots. And then the second side says, plant new roots. Okay, so verse 25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood. Falsehood means put away telling lies. Stop lying. And then it says, speak the truth. Now, when it says we put off the old, put on the... There is no such thing as, it was just a little white lie. There is no such thing as a little white lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. In good English, it's an exactitude. It means you weren't telling it like it was supposed to be told. And we understand that Satan is the father of all lies. So when you tell your little white lie, you shrink a piece of your root system that should be going down and you're shrinking it instead of making it grow. We don't want to be bound to him in any shape or form. We don't want a seared conscience. Now, 99% of the people in this room, including myself, have a seared conscience when it comes to the speed limit. Why should I drive 100 when I can do 120? That means we have a seared conscience about the law and following the law. I know we laugh, it's not a laughing matter. It's also something we can't ask the Father, oh, Lord, help me to stop lying. No, stop lying. Stop telling falsehoods. He has a command for us for that. His command is stop. Put away falsehood in biblical terms. Chapter 4, verse 26 says, be angry, but do not sin. Now you go, well, isn't that a dichotomy of... No. So we have to understand there is righteous anger. But the point of Paul is writing says, we learn to have to keep short accounts of unchecked anger, which leads us into sin. The clutches of the enemy. Get rid of the anger. And it goes on to say, you know, don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep angry. You know, deal with it. Have a short account of it. And if you do get angry, then get over it quickly. Unrepented anger will lead to sin. It gives the enemy a foothold in your life because you carry on and you're angry all the time. And then people say, why are you angry all the time? No, I'm not. Okay. Yeah, maybe you are. Anger, resentment, bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, defiling many. Because when we get into bitterness, then it starts to affect everybody around you. Verse 28 says, thievery, do not steal. It goes on and says, work hard, honest, hard work. And the reason we do that is so that we can share with others. We don't even think that far. Ha-ho, ha-ho, and off to work I go. Taking something that doesn't belong to you is called stealing. And I know some of you are going to get upset with me now. You know when you go to work and you've got kids and they're going to school and the stockroom is full of pens and you just go and grab a pen or two or three, depending how many kids you got, of course, and you take them home, pens and pencils from the work, from the office. That's called stealing. It doesn't belong to you. You can't do that. Anyway, it's gone very quiet in here. Often theft is based largely on not trusting God. We don't trust God to provide for your family and for those in need. And so we go around, and it's not just stealing money or stealing objects, it's stealing time. Okay, let's move on from that one. Maybe you'll like me afterwards. Chapter 4, verse 31 to 32, it says, put away, stop, means put away means stop, all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander. Well, you might, oh, what does clamor mean? Well, clamor means stop causing a commotion, stop shouting, stop raising your voices. Hey, I didn't write this stuff. I'm just trying to preach it to the best of my ability. And then it says, be kind, be tender-hearted, and forgiving. So I want to call this the new attitude called the KTF attitude. Kindness, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Any attitude that rises above Christ, uproot the stuff and burn it. Get rid of it from our lives. Doesn't matter where you are, classroom, boardroom, bedroom, or playing field. Makes no difference. Get rid of them. There is no place for these roots of first part. What we want is KTF, kindness, tender-hearted, forgiving. Verse 4, chapter 5, verse 4. No filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking. It says they are out of place. Rather give it with thanksgiving. Speak of thanksgiving. You want to have a good root system? This is how you get to do it. No obscenities, no innuendos, no double talk. As I put it, no jokes south of the border. And a bunch of guys, and I guess it happens with girls too. How, Pastor, can I tell you a joke? Already my radar's up on the head, and I immediately go, is this going to go south of the border? And they look at me like, what did he just say? I say I don't want to hear it then. We've got to stand up for having our root systems good. What we want to do is grateful speech, uplifting speech with thanksgiving. Next slide. Chapter 5, verse 5. Anyone who is sexually immoral, impure, or is covetous, Scripture says, have no inheritance in the kingdom. The kingdom of God means living holy. This might be a hard lesson today, but it's a good lesson. It's a healthy lesson. Help us get our root system right. It's abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There is a differentiation between those who don't know God and God's children. Live holy and in honor. We cannot expect those that do not know Jesus Christ to live according to the way we live, because they certainly want us to live differently. And when we don't, yeah, you're not supposed to say that, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to do that, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to. They know more about it often than we do, which is a sad state of affairs. We want to abstain from that. We want to know when we live in and for the kingdom, we are united and intricately woven and grafted in and have the roots, root system of Jesus Christ. Like vine and the branches in John 15. Like marriage in Ephesians chapter 5. A picture of marriage is Christ and his church. If you're confused, go and read that. And as I often tell people, don't read it like, well, you have to do that, then I will do that. That's not what the scripture says. It's like leading a play. Read your part and do your part. If the other person messes up their lines in a play, you don't get to go and say, hey, you messed up your lines. That's for the choreographer to do that. That's for Jesus to do that. We just got to learn our lines and do our lines. Amen? Number 3, understanding 1 Corinthians 12. We're parts of the body of Christ. He is the head, we are the body. And we each of us have a part to play. Colossians 1:16 says, in him all things are held together. It's because of Jesus, not because of our cleverness, but not because of our goodness, because of him and his goodness and kindness and his imputed righteousness to us. And we are positioned in him because of his sacrifice. We have to understand there's no spare parts in the kingdom. We don't get to like, well, I'll just take a spare part and change it out. No, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. We wholly put off the old and we wholly put on the new. Amen? Okay, where did I get to? 5 verse 8. It says we were part of darkness, and now we are light. That should get us excited. We have renounced secrets and shameful ways, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 1, verse 12 to 13. We came from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. And hear what I say this, hear it well. We got to learn to walk on the wild side with God. We don't have to be, check our brains at the door and be simpering Christians. We want to be powerful, waging warriors for the kingdom. Verse 15, unwise, put the new root, be wise. We have to learn before we make a decision, count the cost of that decision. And just go, well, that's a good idea, let's just go and do it. And then afterwards go, I never sought counsel on this, I never asked anybody, I just decided to do it myself, and now I don't know what I'm doing. I'm at sea and I don't have a paddle or a canoe, actually. Look carefully, be wise, intellectually, use your time well. You know, many years ago, to help us to create good decisions, someone taught us an acronym called SODA. And SODA means the S, what's your situation? Find the situation you're in. Then ask yourself, what are the options for this one? Then make a decision on what your options are. Good, healthy decisions, of course. And then put that into action. I walk around wondering, what should I do all day? I don't know where we go, you know. Have a family time. Sit down. Talk about it. This is the situation we find ourselves in. What are our options? What is the decision we should do in Christ? put it into action. A wise man, wise woman, plans his day to include God in everything. Verse 17, foolishness, know the will of God. Foolishness is being governed by desires, impulses, hates, and loves. I hate this, I love this, it's all about my feelings, how I feel. You have to work according to the will of God, Romans 12, which says God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And what we have to learn to know is that God's will is acceptable and perfect for him and for me. And so that's how we make good decisions. Last one, verse 18, drunkenness. Scripture says it's called debauchery. We versus live in the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk by alcohol. Getting drunk by alcohol is a sin. Did I say that clearly enough? But when we do it by the Holy Spirit, the sense of that is more of that. That's what they're trying to draw flavor. Importantly, don't be controlled by wine or be self-controlling, but allow the Holy Spirit to control you. We yield ourselves to him. So at the end of that, how is your root system doing? You got some gardening to do, some uprooting and replanting. That's a good, healthy thing as long as you do it. John 15:8, it is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Part of our purpose and our plan. How's your fruit on your vine? Or your fruit on your tree? Last scripture is very similar to the one we started with. Psalm 1. I want to be this man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Bad root system. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Descriptive, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. You want some good fruit? You want to prosper in everything you do? It's time to do some gardening. In the natural, spring is coming. I saw a red robin outside my window the other day. And when I see the robins, I know spring's on its way. I got quite a little excited. Bridget said, oh, you're excited. And so spring is coming. It's time to do some gardening. Dig into that hard earth. Break it up. Uproot those old roots. Put down the new roots. Bless you. Thank you.